Welcome to Behind the Bite, where we delve deep into the real-life struggles and triumphs surrounding food, body, and weight. I'm Dr. Christina Castagnini, a psychologist and certified eating disorder specialist, bringing you a unique blend of personal experience as a recovered individual with over 25 years of professional expertise. In each episode, we'll share the courageous journeys of individuals who have faced these challenges firsthand, alongside insights from dedicated professionals in the field. Whether you're seeking healing, inspiration, or simply a deeper understanding, this podcast is here to empower you on your own path to a better life. Join us as we explore stories of resilience, discuss the latest insights, and strive to foster a community of support and growth. Together, we can break down barriers, challenge stigma, and pave the way towards healing and living authentically. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's show. If you've ever tried to discipline yourself into feeling better, maybe through rules, control, shame, or sheer willpower, this episode is going to land deep. Today, I'm joined by Heidi Dewicki, a licensed professional counselor and certified personal trainer who knows firsthand that you cannot hate your body into healing, no matter how hard you try. So many, Heidi spent years in the exhausting loop of food obsession, body comparison, perfectionism, and secret behaviors. She thought discipline was strength and shrinking herself would finally bring peace. And instead, she found anxiety, shame, and a life that kept getting smaller. Maybe some of you can relate to that. And it wasn't until she shifted from controlling her body to actually caring for it that everything began to change. In our conversation, we're going to talk about how restriction turns into a coping strategy and why that never really works. We're going to talk about family comments, social pressure, and comparison. Yes, even the innocent comments, the ones that hurt. And the link between ADHD, anxiety, and disordered eating, and the moment she realized that her quote-unquote healthy habits were not healthy at all. And we're going to also talk about what real recovery looks like and why it isn't perfect, but possible. And in this episode, it's really a reminder that healing doesn't happen through punishment. It happens when we decide to build the life we actually want to live. So if any of that sounds like something you can relate to and really want to hear more about, please keep tuning in, sit back, relax, and I'm going to go get Heidi and get into the conversation. All right, Heidi, welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to be here.
It's really great having you. I'd like to just start out asking most of my guests a little bit about where would you like to start in terms of sharing like your origin story? Like, how did this all like start for you?
So I think obviously childhood, going back to that, and something that, you know, body image and eating habits and self-love has been something, you know, of a struggle, definitely during ages 10 through high school and whatnot, and coming to just struggle with, yeah, I think accepting puberty and body changes and other mental health kind of difficulties, anxiety, depression, all encapsulated in one. I always was very athletic, played sports growing up, and was viewed as, yeah, the athletic one in the family. But at the same point, I did get teased at times, made fun of and whatnot. And I think that really impacted my view of myself and whatnot. Once I got into college, took some psychology classes and was very interested in kind of what I was learning about and finding it very applicable to my own life. And that's really what I think fell in love with psychology in general and put me on the path to working in the mental health field. And hey, if I can build insight and learn, why do I keep doing the things that aren't working for me? How do I change these? If I can do that, other people can, and wanting to help people see that. And I didn't know until about 19 that I was struggling with ADHD, and that was causing feelings of depression and anxiety, and also impacted my relationship with food, impulsive eating or dopamine seeking with that. And coming to find out, I really struggled with focus and concentration, and psychology was really the only thing that like captured my attention. I think it was because, oh, I can apply this to my life. It's useful to me. And from there, learn more about disordered eating and building awareness of what was going on with me. And then at one point, I was engaged and thinking, okay, this is the time. These wedding photos are going to live forever. I'm going to start working out. I'm going to get in the best shape of my life. And didn't know what to expect, but ended up falling in love with exercise and working out and the feeling of having pride and feeling empowered of what my body can do instead of feeling embarrassed or ashamed and trying to. The goal was always to be thinner, right? And then falling in love with working out, it was, no, I want to be stronger. I want to be able to lift heavier weights. And it wasn't about the pant size or the number on the scale. It was, oh, can I lift heavier from last week and trying to progress in that way. And really came to recognize that, hey, healthy eating and exercise can do so much more for one's self-love than the yo-yo diets or the restricting or the binging or the having to reward yourself or punish yourself with food. And I didn't realize that, yeah, that was going to be really a turning point in my life with the exercise piece. And now it's become just an ingrained part of my life. And I don't think about, oh, I've got to earn this food or I've got to work that piece of cake off. It's just about, hey, I need the fuel to keep my workouts going and perform in the way I want. So definitely a huge shift in mindset from food is a bad thing. And like, how do we manage eating just enough to function, but not too much to gain weight? And there was a point where I purposely, hey, I'm trying to gain muscle. I have to eat more. And I remember thinking like, wow, there's never been a point in my life where that was the goal, to gain weight, to eat more, to fuel myself with this specific goal. And it was very freeing. Also, more challenging than I thought to eat more often and get all those nutrients in, but it definitely reshaped my whole view of, yeah, food and body image and weight loss and stuff like that.
Wow, that was a big turnaround, right? Very much. I'm interested to hear, if you don't mind, just going back, because I think the interesting part is we don't really talk about, you touched a little bit on this points of what was different when you got to that point. But when you're talking about the start of it all and the body changes and like your relationship with food and like you were an athlete and all of that, do you feel like at that time things were like, did you realize you were doing things with food or with exercise or like anything with your body that you would have considered disordered or harming yourself?
I don't think so. I remember always wanting to wear baggy clothes. And I know with my peers and stuff, I tended to be a bit bigger and they were wearing a lot more fitting clothes. And I wore a lot of my brother's hand-me-downs. And that's what I felt comfortable with. If anything was too tight or too constricting, it made me feel uncomfortable. And I remember that, but I don't remember like recognizing that something was really wrong or different. In high school, I had a really hard time with depression, and lack of appetite was one of those side effects. And I did lose a bit of weight and then came to realize, oh, wait, like this is a way that I can control something. And I think that was when it became more of a conscious decision to restrict or to binge or to overexercise, but hadn't really put it all together until it was like, oh, like I can control this in an unhealthy way. And I do think, yeah, that it was, hey, I can focus on this and then forget about these other things going on in my life that are causing stress or anxiety. And I would get results depending on how I tried to control that. And I think having that awareness in high school was I think, made things worse before they got better, because then it was clear that, like, it's me and my behavior, and I can choose what to eat, when to eat, how much to eat, and the exercise piece, where before it just felt like it was happening.
You were talking about the depression, and a lot of times depression, anxiety do go along with the eating disorders. And I'm curious for you, do you think that you had mentioned like getting bullied or teased and things like that. Do you think that there was a point in time where that stopped and maybe you got more positive attention? Like when you said maybe you stopped eating or your body changed?
Yeah, but, oh, you look good, or being able to fit. I would share or swap clothes with friends, and it was like, oh, finally we can swap formal dresses or things like that. And I think too, it made you feel more accepted. One thing I really struggled with, appearance in general. I was the classic dorky glasses, braces, overweight. I had super long hair, and just I was very self-conscious about a lot of that, and yeah, I couldn't control a lot of those things, but it's okay. My weight, I can control that to some degree. And it worked at times, and other times it was just a vicious cycle. But I do remember, it's every day was thinking about food. What am I going to eat? When am I going to eat it? How much am I going to eat? How is that going to affect me? Then feeling guilty about it, and just a never ending vicious cycle.
So it's always interesting too, right? If you think back, I do this with myself. Gosh, how did I decide what I was going to eat? Because I know it was my parents who were buying the food, right? And I honestly can't remember all that much. But I'm wondering for you, do you remember at all if you had certain foods or food rules even back then, or things that were like it went against the grain with what your family was eating, or there were foods in the house where you're like refused to eat anymore or anything
Not
like that?
so much. I know we didn't grow up with much junk food, and so it was more of a healthy diet that was encouraged. But there was an expectation that you eat dinner with the family every night and you eat what they're eating. And it was also, hey, you got to sit here until your plate's clean. And whether you like it or not, whether you're full or not, and as an adult, I recognize, gee, that goes completely against the idea of intuitive eating and listening to your body, that, there was a quantity of food that, like, regardless of what's going on with you inside your body, you have to eat this. And I remember that being, you know, a struggle at times at the dinner table of, okay, I guess I'm going to sit here for hours until this is done. But yeah, it was overseen by my parents. Okay, these are your breakfast options. We would make lunches as a family, or sandwiches as a family for lunch. We all took every day. And so it was very ingrained in, like, our family and just kind of meal planning and eating. And my brother did a lot of cooking. He's a couple years older, and he would cook dinner quite a bit, and I would help. And it was predefined, okay, this is what we're making, or this is what we're having, and you make it and stuff. And so for me, it didn't seem like there wasn't really a choice, but I did have a choice when I wasn't around them, what to eat or how much. And that was one thing in front of family is, okay, let's pretend everything is okay and just don't raise suspicion. And then I'll do whatever I do on my own. Definitely when I went off to college, that was so much easier. I got a cafeteria card and I can go for whatever meals I want and eat whatever I want. And it was easy to make excuses like, oh, I don't got time, or I got to study, or I missed the window. Or other times, okay, I might go with friends and allow that. But yeah, that definitely became a lot harder without those guardrails of, okay, I'm 100% responsible for what I eat every single day. And yeah, it was hard to have a balance at times, for sure.
Do you think anyone picked up on what was going on with you? Or no, you hit it pretty well.
There was a point that I did talk with a high school counselor, and more about the depression piece. And we agreed that, hey, let's let my parents in on a little bit. I wasn't ready to share everything. And we agreed, okay, let's bring your parents in and talk with them a little bit about that. But of course, I downplayed it and didn't want. I was worried, what are they going to do with this information? Are they going to micromanage everything that I eat? And there was, to a degree, when it got brought up, what did you eat today? Or you need to eat more. It was frustrating for sure to have them looking over my shoulder all the time and questioning that. But yeah, it made it difficult to acknowledge, I think, the bigger issue, because I'm trying to downplay it for them as well and trying to downplay it for myself too.
Like, even thinking back, can you recall any of the rules you had for yourself? Because I think everybody has their own eating disorder rules or things that they abide by, whether it's certain foods or number of minutes they have to exercise or certain, like, everybody's got their own rituals and routines. And I always find it so interesting to hear, like, some of them are very similar and some of them are very nuanced to the individual person. Do you remember ones that you just stuck to and just believed them to be like fact and didn't even question things about food, exercise, weight, all of that?
Not anything specifically about specific foods. I think had we had more access to like junk food growing up, maybe that would have been more prevalent, but it was more about calorie counting, right? It wasn't about quality of food. It was about calories. It was about trying to limit how many meals you're going to eat a day. I didn't really care for breakfast for quite a long time. And so it would be easy to not eat until later in the afternoon or even just at dinner time too. One thing I do remember in high school, we had to take a swim class and I ended up fainting in the locker room after a vigorous swim class and probably hadn't eaten all day yet. And I remember passing out and waking up and on the floor in kind of the shower stall. And oh, wow, everyone's gone. Everybody had gotten changed and left. And I remember that, okay, maybe there is something wrong here. That's not normal. And of course, I didn't tell anyone about that. But I do remember that, okay, yeah, that could be a problem.
That's scary in high school. Anytime to pass out.
Yeah.
Was that any kind of a shift or change after that? Did anything kind of light bulb moment or?
No. I don't think really there was ever a light bulb moment. I think the light bulb moment was once I started to engage in healthy behavior, noticing, wow, this is actually easier to feel good about the behaviors that you're engaging in than to feel embarrassed or ashamed and trying to hide it and trying to find the quick fix of, I feel like back in the day, there was a lot of quick fixes advertised. Oh, this diet pill, or oh, this exercise thing, or oh, this or that. And I would try some here and there. And they didn't work. And then the aha moment came when, oh, healthy eating and exercise. That's the thing that works. And the burden that got lifted of, hey, I don't have to be secretive, or I don't have to hide these behaviors. Everybody knows I go to the gym and likes doing that, and that I do like to eat healthy, and I focus on the nutrients and getting in my protein and stuff like that. And it's so freeing to be able to be seen as an inspiration, or hey, that I'm doing something positive and being recognized for that, as opposed to, yeah, holding that shame and hiding a big part of yourself.
So it's a little dicey saying the word healthy, right? Because I think with eating disorders, that can be very triggering to hear healthy and things, yeah. Because people think oftentimes, like I did, I thought, oh, I'm being so healthy, right? Or even the healthy foods, unhealthy foods, or things like that, these dichotomous categories. And even someone listening might be like, see, it is about eating healthy, quote unquote healthy. And sure, you have an eating disorder or disordered eating right now. And listening to this, your eating disorder voice might be saying like what it to yourself, see, everything I'm doing is right. And so I want to talk about that a little bit because I'm wondering if your definition of healthy, whatever that was when you were in the eating disorder versus like after you moved away from it, shifted and changed a little bit at all, or if it remained the same, like what was that like for you?
And I think, and when I do say healthy, yeah, more nutrient dense foods, whole foods. I still pizza, ice cream, all that is good, but obviously moderation. I think back in the day, I didn't care about the nutrients. It was all about the calories. If I could have a piece of pizza for 300 calories, that's cool, even though I could eat more nutritious foods and still get 300 calories. And yeah, I probably did opt more for some of those junk foods when I could, just because we didn't have that so much growing up. And okay, maybe it was a feeling of being deprived to some degree, but hey, I'd rather eat pizza any day than a salad. And so for me, it was more a focus on calories and the quantity. And I think that's the big shift now is, sure, I'll eat that pizza, but I want to pair it with a salad or some vegetables, or hey, I'm not going to have something less calorie or nutritious for other meals during that day. It's definitely finding the balance. And I think back then there wasn't a balance. There wasn't really a focus on healthy foods, because to me, it didn't matter whether it was healthy, unhealthy, good, bad, whatever. Like, I knew I had to eat. It was, how can I eat as little as possible and still enjoy food? Because that was hard too. Restricting, and I still love food. Like, food is enjoyable, it tastes good. And then it's like, how do I get that from eating as little as possible, which was a huge challenge. And so for me, I think probably part of it was maybe I did pick more processed foods because it wasn't about what I was eating so much. It was, okay, I have to eat something, and like this I at least enjoy. And then, okay, I'll cut it off when I hit that kind of calorie limit, or okay, I think that's enough. And when I did eat, I wanted to enjoy it as much as I could. And yeah, that was highly processed foods that I found more enjoyable.
So was there times where you were really restricting and counting the calories, and like you had your magic number, whatever it was? I think people have their own numbers. But then also, I think you've mentioned like binging too. Did you find that there were times where you just couldn't sustain it and binged as well?
Sure. Yeah, and that cycle, right? I restrict all day, and then my body's, hey, we need some nutrients. And then, okay, what's there? What's available? And just go at it. And obviously now I can recognize, hey, that was the cycle falling into. But at that time, it was like, why is this happening? I'm focused on trying to lose weight and restrict. But then, yeah, there's this point where I just don't care. I can't control it. And that's, oh, all that hard work went out the window of listening to my stomach grumble all day. And now I just wasted it. And oh, then now I got to punish myself tomorrow because I ate too much today. And the cycle just repeated itself. And yeah, just wondering, like, why isn't this working? And then it does work for a little bit. And then, okay, something happens and might be on vacation with family or something. And you got to pretend everything is okay and like eating normally again. And then beating yourself up for that. And then, okay, I'm back by myself. Okay, we'll just eat the bare minimum for the next few days to make up for the last week. And so, yeah, it was just ever consuming, the thoughts about food and body image and weight and yeah, how to be around people, all consuming all the time.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point. You know, what your by yourself behaviors, and then when you're around people, and this point of realizing, if I'm hiding these things and I'm not able to do these behaviors in front of people, or have to put on this fake facade, like there's something going on, right? Like, what is going on? I think that's a telltale sign for anyone listening. Are you doing things when you are on vacation with other people or at a dinner party or on a weekend away or whatever it is that you don't do when you're by yourself, like you feel ashamed or embarrassed or you don't want anyone to know.
Yeah, I remember like holidays being particularly difficult for quite a few years. We would go upper Michigan to visit family for Thanksgiving, and my aunt and uncle would always have a variety of foods and go all out like any holiday. And that created so much anxiety. Oh, I'm going to be tempted by so many different foods that I don't normally eat or have access to. And how am I going to manage that? And knowing that was coming up, oh goodness, what am I going to do? And then, of course, giving in to the temptation and then feeling horrible about it. A lot of us overeat on holidays already, but then it was like, what did you just do? How could you let that happen? And then the guilt and then the beating you up. And then, okay, we get back home after the holiday. And that's, I got to punish myself because I couldn't control that. And oh, if I, and I think a lot of it's like, oh, if I was just stronger, if I had better self-control, or it's my fault that I let that happen, which then keeps that cycle going. Well, then I can control and make sure it doesn't happen again. And it just, yeah, just same story, different day over and over.
And that's the worst part, right? Is like inside you're saying, I'm in control. I'm controlling this. And did you ever get to that realization, wait, I'm actually not in control at all. Like this is controlling me.
Yeah, I think there was a point, and I think for a while it was easier to focus on other things that I could control, school or friendships, things like that. And I think when we talk about like eating disorder recovery, the hard thing is like you can't get rid of food. Food has to be there. And it's about changing your mindset and reshaping that relationship with food. And I don't think even now where I'm in recovery, there's still days that I struggle with that. And I think being able to accept, okay, this is something that I have to navigate. How do I do that on a daily basis without it consuming me? And really, it's about balance. But I do think it maybe isn't normalized enough that part of the recovery is there might be slipping back into an old thought pattern or an old behavior, but it's about catching it and, okay, wait, how do I get myself back on track? Because, yeah, there's still days where it's, oh, like I didn't eat the best yesterday. Oh, we want to get pizza. I don't know. But trying to battle that inner thought process, I do think, it is a long-term struggle. It definitely gets easier. But I think, yeah, that there's the society that we live in. It focuses so much on physical appearance, right? And size and just the cultural kind of aspects, women's clothing sizes, right? That's so frustrating. And then we let a number define how we feel for the day. The scale said, oh, it was a couple pounds higher than I wanted, and now it's ruined my mood, or it's a couple pounds lighter, and oh, I feel so successful and on top of the world. And when you really think that's a poor indicator of anything really. But yeah, then it gets to a point where numbers define your mood and your existence. And oh, I went to the dressing room and oh, I couldn't fit into that size. I needed a bigger size. And then that just puts you down and oh, reinforces. I guess I need to not eat as much. I need to skip the next couple of meals. And all of that messaging, yeah, just kind of fuels that too.
Absolutely. No, you're talking about all the triggers that happen, right? And I've said this before on here for anyone who's listening. It's like recovery is this process. It's not this straight line where like people can feel like, oh, I've got this. And then you can have these moments that trigger you, right? Or you can be around a food that w in your eating disorder days you associated with, oh, this is a quote unquote bad food or a triggering food. Maybe you haven't been around it in a while and it can, oh, wow, I thought I was done labeling things or thinking I thought food was different for me. But to your point, or you can go into the dressing room for the first time and try on something and get completely triggered. And so it's just to your point, like checking in and saying, like, where am I at right now? But also, how amazing that you can check that and go, wow, I've come so far. This isn't an everyday thing.
Yeah, one of the other challenges too, being away at college and coming home, I would see my parents a couple times here and there, but I often would get feedback of, oh, it looks like you're eating well, or oh, we need to put some more meat on those bones. Oh, we need to fatten you up while you're home, and that constant attention too. And I know they didn't mean anything by it, but it was like, okay, you're observing these fluctuations in my weight that I'm hoping people aren't noticing, but just confirming, oh, yeah, there is an impact. Other people do notice this. And, I think at times, yeah, that kind of solidified the, oh, people are going to judge you based on your weight and how you look. And if your own family notices and comments, like, what are other people going to notice and say? And I think, yeah, that focus didn't help. And I think women in general, men too, there is a huge focus on appearance and size and complaining to your friends, like, oh, does this make me look fat, or this doesn't fit me right? Or I appreciate not being raised with a sister, not having a sister, because I do think that probably would have made things worse to some degree. But that was maybe not. My brother, he was very thin growing up, and that was a challenge. We used to joke, oh, too bad we couldn't switch bodies. He had a hard time gaining weight, and it seemed like I gained weight so easily. And I remember joking with him about that. And just, yeah, that comparison again. And then he started dating someone that I was thinner too and prettier. And then it was more comparison and just feeling like, yeah, you're never good enough or thin enough or in that comparison, which you can't avoid it, right? There's always going to be someone that you feel is above you with that. So I do think, yeah, that can be hard as well, that constant comparison and focus on size just in general in our culture.
Yeah, and isn't that just as you were talking, I was thinking, like, what does your boyfriend's girlfriend have to do with you? But that's how this works, right? Like the comparison around other people, it's so strong. And you start to think everyone must do this, right? But it's interesting to talk to other people who don't have eating disorders or body image issues, and they're not going around comparing themselves all the time to everyone else, but it feels that way. It feels like everyone's looking at everybody judging, right? Because I do it, right? And gosh, that just sounds like torturous for you during that time, or I don't know if it's still something you struggle with or it's gotten better.
No, not so much now. I think being a therapist myself and coming to learn that everybody has something. Everybody's insecure about something. Even the people that we used to idolize and, oh, wanted to look like them, they have their own things. And interestingly enough, my brother's wife now, she struggled with gaining weight. And so it's okay, we can struggle with losing weight, we can struggle with gaining weight, we can struggle with maintaining weight. And like, I think coming to that realization of maybe not comparison, but like appreciating where you're at and what you have. I think it's easy, right? Grass is always greener. But like, she really struggles finding clothes that fit because she's tall and thin. And if she finds clothes that fit, they're way too short and small. And so it's, wow, that like maybe things aren't going to be just so much better if I were to lose weight. Or, yeah, on the flip side, I think it's hard doing it this way that, yeah, I don't really recognize. Maybe it's hard the other way too. Or if you're struggling with, yeah, gaining weight or feeling, it's about feeling comfortable in your own skin, really. And I think that kind of has been also an aha moment of everybody has something. There's things that I know that other people value or envy about me that I would not recognize or be like, oh, whatever. But I think, yeah, coming to realize like we're all struggling to some degree with some insecurity, some way more than others, but appreciating, hey, this is where I'm at. This is how I got here. If I don't like it, I can work on changing it. But, and that's essentially what I've learned is, hey, I want to feel better about myself. Let me put in the work to do that. versus that quick fix of just not eating or, yeah, exercising too much and focusing on what you think is a quick fix, but come to realize is not a quick fix at all. It actually keeps you stuck in that cycle for so much longer.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you're just talking about all the quick fixes and all the things that, you know, that's just when you do a quick fix, then it's a quick change. And then you feel like, I don't know if you did this, feel, oh, I failed or I did something wrong, that it wasn't sustainable or the change didn't last. But if you did something that's quick, I don't know why the mentality was whatever changed is going to just stay there. But then to beat yourself up, like, how harsh, right?
And the thing too is, I thought that was the easy thing, to restrict, skip meals. I thought that was easy. Oh, that's easier to just go without eating or do some extra exercise versus the consistency of healthier habits of, yeah, feeding yourself in a way that fuels your body as opposed to depletes. And reflecting back, I imagine, yeah, anxiety, depression, the ADHD, they were probably all impacted by the nutritional choices I was making and definitely didn't help in any way. And so thinking too about, it's not just about our physical appearance and size, but nutrition impacts all parts of our body and our life. And I don't think I realized, yeah, the mental toll that it was take until probably in the last 10 years or so, realizing, oh yeah, it wasn't just about physical appearance or wanting to wear a certain size clothes, but it was really more about, yeah, self-acceptance. And no matter, I don't think any, whatever weight I was going to get at wasn't, you know, the answer, it still wasn't good enough.
Yeah, it's very sad to think, gosh, you have to deprive yourself of what you actually need for fuel and nutrition and to feel good in your body and to take care of yourself. Because the mentality is, if I do that, I'm doing something wrong, indulgent, bad, whatever it is. And oh, and my body's not going to look how society is telling me it's supposed to. So I have to choose between feeling good, taking care of myself and eating consistently, or it's not a both, which, you know, how sad.
Yeah. And I mean, there's even been on the flip side too of, when are you going to stop working out, or how much weight do you want to gain, or how big do you want your muscles to be? And it's okay. So now, you know, it's like nothing, there's always going to be someone that has something to say and criticize. And I think I've gotten to the point where it's, I feel good about my choices and my behavior, and I feel good about me. And sure, that may not be for you, that's fine. But like, the fact that like, I feel empowered and proud of where I'm at. And it's not about, yeah, the size of my clothes. It's about what my body can do now. And I think that's been a huge shift, is the focus before was on the physical, how do I look? And now it's more about, what can I do? Can I play the sports that I want to? Can I lift the weights that I want to? Do I have the energy to get through my days? Do I have the mental capacity to get through my days? And fueling that through food and seeing it as a necessity as opposed to a punishment or reward. And I know that's a big thing people struggle with, is using food to punish, or exercise to punish and food to reward. And that's been a big thing too, to think about, okay, what are other ways that I can reward myself or get pleasure? And yeah, I don't need to punish myself. I need to be more accepting and give myself more grace instead of punishing for something that, yeah, it's normal human behavior to want to eat that ice cream.
Yeah, such positive shift and change and great messaging you're giving. I hope people listening can really hopefully take that in. But also, just before we end too, I think I like what you said before about instead of focusing on negative things about your appearance or your body, really focusing on what's good about you. What are your positive qualities about yourself and other people? I always think, gosh, what do you think it would take for us to focus more on those things as a society rather than this external validation for our appearance and things like that?
Unfortunately, I think it's a culture shift, which was going to be challenging, but I think more focus on non-physical attributes and effort and energy and things like that, because I think a lot of times we focus on the end result, right? And okay, it doesn't matter how you got there, it's where are you at now? And I think shifting that to more of, yeah, focusing on the process and the journey and developing awareness, I think, is a big thing. I'm sure, yeah, I had a nutrition class or a health class at one point, but I think shaping people to think about their body as in what it does for us versus how we look, which is, I don't even know how to shape that, but I think that's something as a society teaching kids that it's about your other qualities. And I know that's so ingrained. Oh, you look so pretty, or oh, you're turning into such a beautiful young lady, or things like that. And that just reinforces that mindset that, hey, people pay attention to looks, and that's important. And that's the feedback that I'm going to get. And I think we need to focus more on, hey, you did a great job on that test. I can see you tried really hard. I know that was difficult for you, but got through it. I think changing the approach and the feedback that we give to other people is really what has to happen. But obviously, easier said than done. But I think, yeah, trying to separate oneself from the physical, it's hard. But I think at the end of the day, yeah, our health comes and goes, and different factors affect that. But it's about who we are as people and the behaviors that we engage in that, if we feel good about, that's going to point us in the right direction.
Absolutely. Love that. So that being said, before we end, what's one thing that you feel really good about yourself now? Just if we can focus on something positive that now you really are like, you know what? This is pretty good about myself. I like this about me.
I would have to say the feeling empowered and no longer shrinking away from who I am. I think I've gotten to a point where I do feel like I can live my authentic life and be who I want to be and not need to fit into this mold that society has. And I know sometimes that doesn't sit well with everyone, but I think for me, that I've found the most freeing and has really given me true happiness is not worrying about what other people think or keeping the peace or having to be something for others that, doesn't come naturally. And I think for me, it's, hey, this is who I am. These are my values. This is what I believe. This is how I live my life. And if that's not okay, then we're not meant to be in each other's lives. And I think feeling that empowered that, hey, people are going to accept me for who I am and being authentic and not having to hide or be something that I'm not, I feel like has been, yeah, a life changer, because wasn't happy trying to fit into that box before. And I think as we get older, we realize being normal isn't all it's cracked up to be. I'd rather be outside the box and different and be authentic than just trying to fit in.
Awesome. Now, I know you are also helping people. And now, would you just talk a little bit about that and then tell people if they do want to reach out to you or work with you, find out more about you professionally, like where they can find you?
Sure. Yeah, and one thing that, so yeah, I'm a licensed professional counselor and I do specialize in disordered eating. And part of it comes from the passion of, hey, I've been through that myself. It can get better. You can recover, and wanting to give hope to other people and, hey, you're not alone in this, and giving them, yeah, the building the insight and the tools to work through that. I do offer telehealth services through Restore and Renew Counseling. And I think a lot of people are in various stages of disordered eating, and it looks differently. I think a lot of times when we think about eating disorders, we think about women, right? Or younger women, where no, it affects men, women, all ages, all ethnicities. It isn't just a young women problem. It is expansive, and there's people out there to help and guide you through that. And it doesn't have to be this secretive, private thing that you hide away from the world.
Well said. Yeah. So anyone listening, I'm sure there's people out there that wonder if they have an eating disorder, or maybe you don't have a full eating disorder. Maybe you've disordered eating or your relationship with food you're wondering about. So if you want to reach out to our guest here, Heidi, and find out more, or there's plenty of resources. I'll put them in the show notes. Please do that. And Heidi, thank you so much for sharing all of your journey, because it's, I'm sure people listening can relate to a lot of what you went through. And just thank you so much for just putting out the message of hope and recovery. So appreciate that.
Thank you for having me. And yeah, you're welcome. And I hope, yeah, people listening to this can feel inspired to make a change and reflect on what they're doing and know that they're not alone and there is help. Because I remember a day where thought, okay, this is how it's always gonna be, and that isn't the case. Things can get better.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening today. Behind the Bite podcast is created by me, Dr. Christina Castanini, as part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network, and produced by the Tweaky Tales. I love hearing from my listeners. So if you like the show, please rate and subscribe to it on whatever platform you're on. And for anyone who wants to understand their relationship with food better, or who might be wondering if they have an eating disorder, I have a free 9-week e-course at my website. Just go to www.behindthebitepodcast.com to get your free e-course today. Please note, this podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither host, the publisher, or the guests are rendering legal, clinical, or other professional information. If you want or need a professional, you should find one to work with who can address your individual needs and situation.